Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the cross, Lord, that we will find rest, that we will find peace with you, our Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you will keep us near that cross, that you will help us walk from day to day with its shadows over us, to guide us and direct us in every aspect of our lives. Amen. I wonder if you have, or indeed when you have any important decisions to make, how do you make them? Do you seek divine inspiration or divine direction from Jesus? You know, our lives are filled with choices that can either make or break us. At different stages of life, we're presented with so many different choices. And to make such decisions without making a mistake, we need proper guidance, which only God can really give us. Many people have spoiled their Christian lives because of wrong decisions made outside of God's will, such as jobs, maybe their marriage partner, mistakes in what type of education, mistakes in moving to other places, moving house, or maybe moving to a completely different area. But it's not only young people that make these unwise decisions. Many older people and even elderly people have committed this big mistake as well. We're all faced with the need to make decisions each and every day of our lives. Some of these decisions will only be a matter of personal preference and won't have a major impact on any decisions or any major significance in our lives in any way. Matters like what clothes will I wear today, what will I eat for lunch, and which film would be appropriate for me to watch. But some other decisions you'll make will have long-term consequences that will affect your happiness and overall well-being. For example, what career path should you take? What kind of person do you want to marry? And where will you live? I know for some that seems an awful bit, for young people that seems an awful bit in the future, but friends, it will soon work round. Because these and all decisions we face can affect us for the rest of our lives, they require proper consideration and seeking divine inspiration, divine guidance from God. Have you ever thought, what is God's plan for my life? How do I know God's will in my life? And how do I make wise decisions? Well, these are all very important questions that need to be answered. Why do we need divine direction, divine intervention? Well, life requires that we make wise decisions to ensure that our lives are happier and that we can have peace of mind. But making the right decisions is not a matter of luck or chance. It's not a toss of a coin. Remember, you may have to live with the effects of your wrong decision for a long time, in some cases, a lifetime. When making decisions, there are situations in life that morality is not enough, and we need the wisdom of God. Wisdom isn't a substitute you can go down to the supermarket and buy. You can't get it on eBay or Amazon, but rather in a person named Jesus. When God calls everyone to follow God to pursue wisdom, it's a call to know him through the Lord Jesus, because he is the wisdom of God. Tell me, how are you making your wise decisions? Are the wise decisions? When you have many different options in front of you, how do you determine which is the best choice that honours God? And how do you avoid making bad decisions or bad choices? We could not be in a more desperate need for divine direction and decision making than now, both as a society and as a church. We are in an unprecedented time where we have more options than ever, continually more and more. When you look at anything in our lives, there are multiple choices now. The more choices you have, the more difficult it is to know if you're making the best choice. Am I missing out on something? Did I remember that correctly? Is that really the best option? You make a choice, but then sometimes you're dissatisfied and regretful. Some of the choices we need divine directions as follows. Choosing wisely and correctly is a very important requirement for entering God's kingdom and remaining a member of the kingdom. Romans 8 verse 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God." All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. This is another way of describing true believers. that they are led by the Spirit. This relationship takes place at the time of conversion. Sonship implies relation to God's family with all the privileges and responsibilities of adult children. Choosing wisely is a very important part of a godly life. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." That person described here met the conditions, and therefore God blessed them. If we want God's blessing, we too must meet the conditions. We need to choose to be directed by the word of God and not by the world. God desires us to choose and to do so wisely. Joshua 1:8 says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." We are to meditate on God's word. That's you and that's me. We are to read and meditate on the Bible. I must confess that I used to think of meditation as people sitting with their legs crossed, their arms folded, going, But that's the way that the Buddhists and yoga folk do. But I learned that meditation doesn't mean sitting in one place for hours and then making that silly sound. When reading God's word, the Bible, meditation is thinking over the verse over and over again, seeing it in every angle and applying it to your own life. I heard someone explaining one time about meditation by saying that whenever a cow eats, it goes out into the field to eat grass. But for the cow to really digest the food the way the cow needs to, the cow will throw it up again and eat it over. I know that's not very nice talking coming up to dinner time. But this is like how we should meditate on God's word. We think about it, about what the verse says. We mentally chew on it, letting this meaning sink in. Then we look at the passage again and again and think of what else it could mean and how it could apply to our lives. The church is called out of the world, so our decision making must be from a different viewpoint. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." This verse is not saying that when you're a new creation, when you're saved, that all your sinful habits, your evil thoughts, and your lustful looks are gone forever. It's not saying that. We all know that's not true. This verse doesn't describe a believer's practice, but rather their position. We may not understand everything that is going on in our lives, but over all of our decisions is a God who's working all things for our good. He is a God who's moving all things according to his plan and purpose. He is in complete control over every situation in our lives, or at least he should be. As Christians, we represent a different way of life, God's way of life. It's our foundation. It's our basis for everything we think, everything we say and do, and of course, everything we choose. Every godly choice, a choice that is in keeping with God's teachings, leads to life. Any other choice leads to sin and spiritual death. So why should we choose anything else but life? And yet, we do when we decide on our own, using our own worldly criteria. As busy as many of us are, this life can overpower our thought processes. This requires a daily balanced examination of our lives. Romans 8 verse 7 says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." It tells us that a carnal mind is hostile to God. So it's difficult on our own to choose the godly way of life. So we need divine help. We need God's intervention. The carnal mind, as we know, is controlled by human nature instead of by the Spirit of God. It lives in opposition to God's law. How do we recognise divine intervention or direction? When it comes to making a wise and godly decision, ask yourself these three questions. Does it seek the good of others? 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbour." The world we live in has an unspoken value, and that is, do whatever is good for you. Look after number one, look after self. And all the decisions we make, We should not be selfishly thinking of what way it will benefit us. Instead, we should be thinking about our neighbour. Jesus taught us that our very first concern should be for others rather than ourselves. Then, does it bring glory to God? 1 Corinthians 10:31. So while you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In Christ, we have the freedom in so many different areas of our lives. But thank God that we don't relive under a covenant that says our righteousness is found in what Christ has done, rather than what you and I can do. However, in spite of that, we need to be aware that this truth does not remove us from responsibility or consequences of our actions. With this in mind, we need to ask ourselves, is my attitude about exalting God or exalting self? Does this action reflect well on me or well on the Lord? Most young Christian people are faced with decisions as to whether a certain path or course of action would be right or wrong for them. A good rule to follow is there any glory in it for God? Can you bow your head before you take part or do it and ask, will God be glorified in it? Then ask yourself, does it lead to people coming to know Jesus? 1 Corinthians 10:33, Paul writes, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Paul doesn't mean that he will compromise the results or compromise the truths of the gospel in order to please everyone, but that he will consider his fellow man and not cause anyone's conscience to be offended by his daily life. Therefore, keep that person from receiving the gospel and being saved. Ultimately, God cares that people come to know him above everything else. Is the message in my life telling the truth of God's love and redemption? Is the message in your life telling the truth of God's love and redemption? Are we declaring by our lives the sovereignty and authority of Christ and his saving power that others too might see the gospel as good news? If a choice appears to be either unclear or maybe confusing, or you're not sure, then it's very possible that sin has clouded the issue. God is not the author of confusion, and deception is Satan's way of leading us astray and causing us to choose unwisely. Sin and deception are influences that we need to be aware of. The pulls of the world can be extremely strong, and this can also influence our decision making. Sometimes we might not choose so wisely because of the pulls of the world. We might want something so badly that we forget, and we begin to think that it must be God's will. There may be times when we'll be challenged to choose God's way over man's way. It's then that we need to take a stand for God's truth without compromising our beliefs. We need to be careful about always choosing the easy way, but it may not be the best way. One of our previous ministers, Reverend Eddie Kirk, told me one time, if in doubt, leave it out. I always found that to be very sound advice. How do we receive divine direction? Well, you need to make God your priority. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What God is saying here in effect is, if you put God's interest first in your life, I will guarantee your future needs. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then I will see that you never lack any of the necessities of life. Make your relationship with God your highest priority. It all trickles down from there. Wisdom starts with a proper relationship and knowing God. Have you ever thought, how does God feel about my decision? How does God feel about the decision I've made? Well, the best way to find out is on your knees. But take heart, the fact that God answers any and all prayers, maybe not quick enough at times for you, or in a way that you were expecting, but if you let God be involved in your decision-making process, you'll benefit from it. And that's guaranteed in Scripture. Watch who you associate with and choose your friends wisely. Proverbs 3:31-32 says, do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord. But the upright or in his confidence. Having close friends can be a wonderful and a real blessing, but the wrong friends can be a disaster and lead you astray. Proverbs 12:26 says, "One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbour, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived, bad company ruins good morals." Avoid all forms of ungodly influences in your life, and choose associates because bad company will corrupt good character or the good morals of those who see to follow the teachings of Jesus. Seek godly counsel. Don't try to go it alone. Proverbs 1:5 says, and I'm reading, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." The wise person here is one who is teachable. They're willing to listen and not do all the talking, not be a know-it-all. When you do receive godly counsel, act on it. Refusing or ignoring godly counsel is a very silly thing to do. Always receive it and act on it. This might sound stupid, but I believe one of the greatest gifts God has given his people are his people. So often we neglect or ignore the joint wisdom God has given us in this area. Proverbs 11 verse 4 says, "Where there is no guidance, a people falls." Where there is no guidance, a people falls. When people speak into their life and decisions, there is safety. Listen to what Proverbs 18 verse 1 and 2 says. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. When you isolate yourself and don't let people speak into your life, you break out against all sound judgment to your own harm. God distributes wisdom to his people in such a way that it naturally comes through consulting other Christians. Whatever decision you have or need to bring it before others who know and love Jesus. So when you think about godly counsel, there are three different ranges of people to think about. There's your family and those around you. These people have the most knowledge about you and they know you the best. They can tell you an honest viewpoint of yourself and let you know your personality and tendencies or how it's affecting your decision making. There's also the people in the church at large who have a proven godly character. Go to people who have handled what you're dealing with in a wise way. We have people in our lives that we love and want to bring our decisions before them, but sometimes those people who have the least amount of wisdom and those people have the least amount of wisdom in the area that you're particularly struggling with at that time. Ask somebody else. There are people in the church that have walked through the same thing that you're going through. You can benefit from it. Seek them out. Ask around for someone who has been wise and successful according to the will of God. Maybe in parenting, investment, dating, or a career. Benefit from the larger church. Seek out your pastors, your ministers, or your elders. Every minister, pastor, or elder in the church has been placed over the church to serve you. If you really want wisdom, you need to listen very carefully when the people in these positions disagree with you on what you want to do. Listen when people give you the truth that is hard for you to hear, hard for you to accept. Think through and examine everything with the Word of God before deciding. Try not to make snap judgments and spoil the moment decisions. Right choices require spiritual maturity and careful consideration. Don't jump the gun. This is where you take time to consider who God is. What has he said in his word? What has he said about himself, about you, about the circumstances and our relationship and his expectations on us? The Bible is very important because it speaks, if it speaks to something, it's the best information that you will receive, that you could have. What we know in the word is that it's always true. It's breathed out by an all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal God. Whatever it speaks to is going to be true. God keeps his promise when we obey his teachings because our obedience prepares us to receive and enjoy what he has planned for us. Verse 1 and 4 in our reading talks about learning God's truth. The will of God is found in the word of God, And the only way to know the will of God is to study God's word and let the Holy Spirit write it on our hearts. The key verses, I believe, are in this chapter, are verses 5 and 6. A promise God's people have called upon many times while seeking God's guidance and directions in their life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. If God's people have obeyed the conditions that God has laid down in verses 1 to 12, then they can claim that promise. We need to ask God to direct our paths. Verse 6 there in our reading says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I prefer the wording in the Authorized Version. He will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. But he says in verse 5 that we need to trust him first and obey him in all of our ways. That means total commitment, and then he will direct our paths. This might come through the Bible or through advice of a godly Christian, maybe through an inward peace or a combination of all of these. But if we wait, he will make the guidance so clear that to refuse will be sheer disobedience. We need to be careful not to become wise in our own eyes, as verse 7 talks about, or we're heading for trouble. Conceit will put on hold as far as any divine guidance is concerned. Ask God to be involved in your daily life and to give you guidance and to intervene in all your choices and decisions. After you've gone to God's word and his people, then the question becomes, what do you want to do? Do you want to take that job? Do you want to move house? Do you want to marry that particular person? Or do you want to invest with this particular company? If the answer is yes, then just do it. If the answer is no, then don't do it. It really can be that simple sometimes to follow Jesus in the very important areas of life. You can make a wise decision without a visual sign from God. So many of us don't want to make a decision until God tells us exactly what to do. You can go to God's word and people and still be completely paralyzed in making a decision because you're waiting for some mystical type of moment when God whispers in your ear at what you want to do. You may have times in your life where God makes it abundantly clear which direction you need to go. And if you don't do it, you're not following Jesus. Moments like this do happen, but it's not the rule. It's the exception. It's unhelpful if you think God will show up in some powerful vision every time you need to make a decision about your life. You have the freedom in Christ to prayerfully take a step after you've brought your decision under the authority of his word on people. You've made your decision. You're going in a particular direction. Now you need faith to trust in God, because you have no idea where he's going to lead you and what's going to happen. You can be the wisest person on the planet, but you still don't know the future. You can look at trends and things that are happening, but no matter how confident someone may be, you don't know what God is going to bring. He is directing our lives. We need faith to trust him, no matter what he brings. When you don't understand what is happening to you, you can't see God's hand in it. When you need faith, that's when you need faith to really trust him. We are what we think, and as we think, we do. It affects our decisions accordingly. So consider filling your mind with the right choices and the right influences. Don't trust our own understanding, but trust in the Lord. The individual that trusts his own understanding will make some wrong decisions because of our fallen nature. We must seek God and trust him wholeheartedly. We acknowledge God in all our ways through prayer. We acknowledge God in all our ways through consulting the Bible. If we want to make wise decisions, we must pursue the Bible, because it is through the Bible that we know God's mind. The word instructs us and guides us, but the word is your life. The word of God is the mirror of God that reflects your spiritual image, your spiritual well-being. Those who were at the midweek on Thursday night will have heard the Reverend Johnson quote from a book by John Stott, saying, "An unsurrendered will is the most serious of all obstacles to the discovery of God's will." Listen again. An unsurrendered will is the most serious of all obstacles to the discovery of God's will. Tell me, have you surrendered your will to God yet? That is a serious, serious question. You need to surrender your will. Surrender your life to God. God's word is a solution to every challenge. It's powerful and effective. The more you're acquainted with the word of God through study and meditation, the more you realize that the word is more than just a book of instructions. It's a book that will make you realize that when you put your trust in the Lord, that he will guide you, that he will help you in those times when you have the most difficult decisions to make, and that when you follow his teachings, he'll remove many of those unwanted obstacles in your pathway and get you to your appointed goal. We all need divine inspiration and guidance, but you can only receive that whenever you surrender your will and surrender your life to God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that many of us here have indeed surrendered our will and lives to God. And Lord, we realize, yes, we make mistakes. We let you down. We maybe don't read the Bible enough or pray enough. We maybe read the Bible, Lord, as a sense of duty rather than really meditating on it. But Lord, help us to be challenged. Help us that as we do read your word, we'll seek your guidance beforehand to see how it affects and applies to our lives. But Lord, this morning, for those who still haven't surrendered the will to God, Lord, might you be very real to them. Might you challenge them. Might you take the scales of their eyes that they'll see the errors of the way and their lostness in a lost world. Amen. Amen. We are now going to sing our closing hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, Pilgrim Through This Barren Land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah.